Architects are increasingly having to adapt their practices and plans on changing climates and cultures. Joining me to talk about how climate change and environmental concerns are factoring into practice is Senior Architect Gerald Matthews. He's the Managing Director at Matthews Architects. Hi, Gerald.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, really well, thank you. So when you sit down to design something these days, is climate change increasingly more of a factor for you?
Yes. I went through university at a time when this was drummed into us well and truly. So for the last 20 years, climate change has been something that is absolutely designed into everything we do. The big difference, though, is 20 years ago, you would do everything you could to achieve good environmental design outcomes, but a lot of clients got very uncomfortable if you talked about it because it sounded expensive. And I think the difference now is a lot of clients are encouraging us to talk about it because they've kind of realized it's not necessarily expensive and it's good practice and it actually is kind of meaningful to them now.
Right.
It used to just be scary. It used to sound like what we were going to suggest is putting windmills on everything and getting rid of electricity and running everything off of the power of a treadmill. Whereas I think what everyone's seen enough of during the course of my career is good examples of what really successful, environmentally sustainable architecture can look like. You actually kind of want it.
What does it look like?
It looks very human. So human, in fact, that it barely feels like a step forward. In a lot of the right ways, it feels like we've actually discovered old ideas that, in a way, we just got a bit too carried up in and forgot to hold on to. You could take just the idea of natural ventilation. You know, if you wind the clock back, let's say 1,000 years, your window's just a hole in the wall. There's no glass and you can put your hand through. Ventilation was all natural. There was no such thing as non-natural ventilation. And then we got really good at sealing buildings up, which let us control the environment, and with that, up on our expectations. So now, even things like designing office buildings where the people sitting at the desk can walk over and open a window is a radical idea that comes with all sorts of problems. Like, does the air conditioning system know that you opened a window and what does it do? Does it keep trying to cool the outside air? Or does the system recognize that you opened a window and it adjusts itself accordingly? And we have the technology to do that and it's not that expensive anymore.
I've seen there are properties where you can create, you know, carbon neutral homes that self-regulate temperature based on the direction they're sitting in and how thick the walls are and what materials they're made out of, right?
Yeah. Just getting shading and orientation right, in my opinion, is about 80% of the challenge. And if you get those two things right, the other 20% is all of the really nice to haves. But orientation and shading is, in my opinion, where it starts for design in Australia. The other strange thing that became a tradition in Australia, which certainly one of my university lecturers clued me into this, is kind of backwards. It's a lot of housing in Australia is brick veneer, with a brick on the outside, then a little gap, and then stud work on the inside, and then a plasterboard lining. And we insulate the stud work. But that system actually probably would work better thermally if it was reversed. So if you put external cladding, insulate the framing, and then put the brick on the inside, then the brick acts as your thermal mass and actually slows down the rate at which the temperature changes in your home. Mm. So if you put a lot of energy into warming your home in winter by, you know, burning wood or running an air conditioner, the brickwork soaks up that heat and is protected from the outside by the insulation.
My grandmother always used to say she was just quite sad about the fact that a lot of new houses these days don't have verandas anymore. Is that something you've noticed? And how important are verandas when it comes to cooling a home?
I think it's really important to try and keep the sun not just off the windows but off the walls. And those full perimeter sort of farmhouse style verandas where it wraps the whole house, there's some real sense to that. Aside from rain protection, it also gives you outdoor covered spaces. Some of what I think we lost there was culturally driven more than we forgot why it was environmentally not a bad idea. There was a point where in my grandmother's neighborhood, 5 o'clock at night, you'd start to see everyone come and sit out on the porch and wave at each other and walk across and visit each other in the neighborhood. And over the course of a couple of generations, that kind of stopped.
Hmm.
So people stopped seeing the value of having a veranda as a sort of greeting social space.
Right.
And then it became, we moved living all to the back of the house, and amazing cultural shifts that have really driven the design of houses in Australia. And it's easy to forget one generation to the next how much it really has changed. Mm. There's entire rooms that have vanished. Like, not a lot of homes anymore have a formal dining room.
With me at the moment is Gerald Matthews. He's a senior architect. We're talking about the changing nature of architecture for homes in Australia, as well as climate change and its impacts. Now, you were part of the project. You led the project for the Lerwin Nursing Home, new structure in Murray Bridge, right? How did you factor in environmental concerns into that building?
The expansion of that nursing home, the main body of that project was a new wing with about 20 rooms and all arranged around a central courtyard. The courtyard has this long, big, tall, curved wall that wraps around from the southeast corner to the northwest corner. And the idea is that it catches all of that morning sunlight before the sun passes midday. And then after midday, it's really used to sort of shade the courtyard from the hotter western sun. The other aspect of that project that was really driven by social experience but also environmental benefits is it doesn't have one big lounge. It's got separate, distinct social spaces. In winter, the north lounge is fantastic. You know, it gets a lot of afternoon and evening sun. In summer, the southern lounge is fantastic. You get great daylight, and it doesn't get too directly hot because you're not going to get direct light in through the windows.
Hmm.
If you've got spaces that can adapt, then you can better adapt to each season. And we used to be good at this. Another room that's missing from a lot of homes that used to be there in the sort of 40s and 50s is a sleep out or a sunroom. Certainly I had grandparents that had a sleep out, which was converted to a sunroom. That same idea is actually in the Lerwin Nursing Home, that idea that you want some rooms that are deliberately there to catch the warmth in winter.
So into the future, do you think that architects will have to think more and more about this stuff, especially as we might see ourselves finding there's a lack of certain materials we have to adapt and change?
I think recycling of building materials is going to escalate in importance. That already a lot of that happens. There's entire businesses that make their livelihood out of salvaging materials and then finding users who can repurpose them. But the design of buildings specifically to use recycled materials is already starting to escalate. The other thing that I think architecture will respond to more and more over the next few decades is those peak weather events. How many times are you willing to replace your roof because it got hail damaged?
Mm.
More importantly, how many times is your insurance company willing to do that? Well, the first time Adelaide or the region hits a 50-degree summer day, those days are suddenly what you have to design for.
Definitely some food for thought there. Thank you so much for joining us on the program today, Gerald Matthews.
Great to talk to you.